out is, I said we've lost a great man, but I think he served his purpose. I'm not saying that I think what was, you know, I would never say that what happened to him was right. To take anybody's life is not right, but I think that he was probably born for a purpose. The way I understand, he was a very unusual child. There's something about him that was very unusual. His parents lived across the street from my grandfather. My grandfather remarried. My grandmother, that was Doggett, her husband remarried, and he lived in Atlanta across the street from his parents. They were very wealthy people, but Martin Luther King Jr. never lived as a wealthy man. The money he got for the Nobel Prize, he gave it away. You know, he wouldn't never take money for anything. His children live very humble. His wife now is just, you know, he was just very meek and mild, and he seemed to know that he had a mission in life. That's what he had. And I think that there are a lot of people who did not understand him. That's unfortunate, but I think as time goes on, more and more people do understand him. Very brilliant man. I just wish I had met him. I certainly do.
How do you think that the civil rights movement started, like back in the 50s, with mm-hmm. court decision, and then of course moved on to the 60s and culminated, of course. How do you think that the civil rights movement affected Jacksonville? Jacksonville, I know, was kind of sheltered from right. everything. They didn't experience the full-fledged events like Atlanta or Montgomery or Birmingham or even Anniston for that matter, right. because in Anniston had the bus burning. Mm-hmm. How did the civil rights movement really affect Jacksonville? I mean, I'm sure there was a little bit of it here. Of course, not to the magnitude as other places, but what was it in Jacksonville?
Well, in Jacksonville, it was just the separation of schools. They were, you know, I think mainly what everybody wanted in schools were, you know, it wasn't so much of trying to get things together. It wasn't the idea of being separate, but if they were separate, it had to be equal. And what I think most people wanted in schools were for everybody to have the same kind of books, you know, the same kind of training for their teachers, so that everybody would be prepared to get the same kind of job. So our schools were separate, and our books were old. I mean, we got the old books, you know, that was left over. And we had no problem integrating schools. I remember I was working part-time when my youngest son was old enough to go to preschool in Anniston. I was working as assistant secretary at the high school down there. Just part-time. I had worked that summer at the courthouse in Anniston. They were trying to integrate, you know, gradually. So a man had asked my husband about me working down there, and I'd worked in the courthouse some, and they were marching in Anniston and showing out and acting and everything, and I was so scared. But I went down there that day by myself. Nobody went when I walked right in. Nobody bothered me. There were some men standing there, but they didn't say anything. In Anniston, they had had quite a few problems. My sister had come over from Birmingham with her little son, and they got out the bus, and she just walked right into the waiting room, not knowing she wasn't supposed to go in there, but she was supposed to go in the back to a waiting room. And it was night. And these men, she said, got out of the car, and they looked so mean at her and everything. So finally, my daddy drove up, and she got in the car, because that fell there. But while I was working in Anniston, I got a call from Dr. Stone. And my principal just got really sad, because at that time, Dr. Stone was, you know, he's superintendent of the... He had been state superintendent, and he was president of Jacksonville University, and Ms. Stone was Jacksonville Elementary School principal and all that, you know. And my principal just kept trying to see, you know, what he was asking about, and I never did tell him. But anyway, I knew him, and he knew my father, too. So, and I had been knowing him for years, because Mrs. Stone, you know, just we always knew her. And he said, you know, it's about time for your youngest son to go to school. And said, we would like, you know, just start him here. He said, what's what we want, you know. But he'll be just starting that. So, you know, I said, well, you know, that's fine. I had no thought about anything else anyway. And we live right down the school, in elementary school. So Mike started, you know, preschool. My niece started. She was in the third grade that coming year. There was no big to-do, you know, it wasn't any newspapers and all that. I just wish, what, you know, I really think that that blows it up and it puts a lot of attention mm-hmm. on it. And we just, you know, just eased on through, and it never was a problem. I worked during the Head Start. I had worked long before at the elementary school. I had worked long before, you know, they even said anything about immigration. We always went to First Baptist Church like once a year, because I was First Baptist Church, came out of the First Baptist Church, and once a year we would go up there and have our history together. So we just never thought about anything that was really a problem. Now at Jacksonville University, some of the students up there wanted Black History Studies, and my son was in a group that, you know, they wanted Black History, and they were very receptive of that. And he did a lot of, you know, they thought they were going to have to march and all that, but they got the Black History Studies, and I'm not sure too many people went after they got it, but they got it. But I don't remember a lot of problems, but you have to remember that. I think females don't see as many problems with integration as males do. When I went to Jacksonville University, from what I can remember, I think that I was probably maybe the only Black in my class, but I didn't think anything about it. I don't remember having but one problem, and that was a problem with an essay I had to write. I don't know what it was called, essay. We had to do a project, write a paper, and I selected Negro Spirituals, and there was a professor there that had retired and he had to come back, so he was a lot older than everybody else, and he just did not want me to write on that. He just did not like it, and I had to turn that paper in 3 or 4 times, and every time he finds some little nitpicky thing. Finally, I had to bring all my encyclopedias to show him this was in the book, and I still got a D, but you know, I felt like this is what I wanted to do. Now, I did see that, and I was shocked about it because he had known me all my life growing up. But it was different, I guess, on this level. I don't remember hearing my son say that he dealt with, you know, a lot of segregation or anything. I do know that when Dr. King was assassinated, when I went to class that day, when I walked in, everybody just got super quiet. You know, and I think it was out of sympathy. You know, they just felt like, oh, I'm so ashamed, you know. And, because everybody was talking, I could hear when I was coming down the hall, and then when I walked in, everybody just got real quiet. And we didn't have class that day. You know, school was dismissed when, we just didn't have class. Just nobody had a heart. Nobody talked about it. It seemed like everything was just a quietness all over the whole world. I guess it just seemed that way to me, but everything was quiet.
Like in shock.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Not knowing what to think. Uh-huh.
And everybody just glued to television. I think for 3 days I just stayed to television. I went through the film, you know, step by step, watched the little children and all that. And I just always remember little John down standing there saluting. And how graceful Jackie was. She was just, that was, they asked me in the pageant I was in last year, who did I admire most, what female did I admire? And I said that. Because she had so much courage. She never said anything against her family. She never pointed anything about him that she didn't like. She was just always very ladylike. I just thought she was a super person. And to watch her go through that, not knowing that in a few years I would go through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to go through death like that. It wasn't murder or anything like that, but you don't have to go through that and face it. So it was a strange time. The 60s seemed like a time when everything was just covered over in darkness. Even though I believe there was a time when they had the flower children and all that, people wearing flowers in their hair, barefooted and all this, you know, the coffee houses where people were standing up, you know, playing all kind of instruments and reciting and doing all of this. And, but still, it was, I think we were just all kind of in shock. And just hoping and saying, you know, what is going to happen next? You know, what is this going to lead to?
And then we had the Vietnam War,
yes.
Which just erupted, and there were so many protests.
That's right.
You know, I know Jacksonville was a college town, and mm-hmm. a lot of colleges around the nation, like at Kent State, having mm-hmm. the protests,
right.
And then the firebombing, mm-hmm. and everything like that. And my dad has told me stories at Virginia Tech that, mm-hmm. I mean, his office got firebombed. So it's like, you know, just places all around the nation mm-hmm. because of so many war protests. And so we had a lot of music then that was saying, you know, war, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. How did the Vietnam War affect that? Well, were people, as in, you know, so much upheaval, or were they kind of subdued about it? What was their general reaction? Because I know you had newspapers and everything mm-hmm. giving you all these stories, mm-hmm. you know, what campaign failed or, you know, whatever like mm-hmm. that. What was people's general reaction?
You know, sincerely, I don't remember a lot about it, Jessica. I really don't. And it might be because of I was so involved in what I was doing, mm-hmm. you know, with my children and trying to go to school and trying to do things like that. But I really and truly, I can't remember a whole lot about it. I remember reading the paper in snatches and seeing it on TV in snatches, but I don't remember all those demonstrations and things in Jacksonville. I think that was back during the time Jimi Hendrix was singing, mm-hmm. I believe, and Janet Joplin, you know, and one of my sons used to be crazy about Jimi Hendrix. I don't think it was so much the words, but his playing, playing behind his head and all the guitars and the strings and all that, and the Wendy Head bands and the bushy hair and Joan Baez and all of them, you know, doing all that. But I don't remember those demonstrations of that exactly.
It was just, I guess, kind of the same thing with, well, like the civil rights movement.
Right.
It didn't really touch Jackson like it did other areas mm-hmm. of the state or the country.
Right.
It was just kind of away from
right.
it. Which, again, just seems kind of strange
it
to
does.
Me.
Now, see, it might be the way I was looking at it.
Yeah.
It might be my lifestyle. You know, you might ask somebody else, and Jackson, they might remember a lot more. But from what I see, I don't remember what that was.
And you had too many other things going
on,
which happens to all of us sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, well, who cares about the world? Mm-hmm. I care about me right mm-hmm. now and what's mm-hmm. going on.
Trying to survive.
What did you think about the civil rights movement? I mean, I know that's something that needed to happen in this country
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
there was so much discrimination and so mm-hmm. much prejudice. What did you think about it?
Well, when you're born in something, you get accustomed to it. It was, when I think back now, you know, I asked my husband one day, I was walking out in the yard, and I said, you know, did you ever think that blacks would be able to buy houses and own houses and do things, you know, that they wanted to? I never thought of myself as being deprived, because we always said things. And we never were, and I'm still not materialistic. I can be happy with very little. I thought that everybody should be able to do what they wanted to do as long as they didn't infringe on anybody else's rights.
Hey, go ahead with how you felt about the civil rights movement, what your view of it was, your impression.
Well, like I just stated, I think that everybody ought to be treated with dignity and self-worth. And I remember, you know, when I was younger, going to Anniston, they had a place called Crest where you'd go in and get candy and buy all this kind of a five and dime or something. And there was a place where you could get water, and it said white. One fountain said white, and the other one said colored. And I remember not being able to go into restrooms unless it was in the back, or it said colored, you know. And I remember when Marcus was little and his daddy was living, his daddy was very fair complexion, and my children are fair complexion, and they have straight hair, and I guess just to look at them, you wouldn't know whether they're black or not. And by Fort McClellan being here, there were a lot of people who were, you know, Puerto Rican or Spanish or what, and they were treated different from blacks. And they were treated different then. And when Jack opened, maybe I don't have to use the name Jack, but that's what, we went down there to get some sandwiches. And they were reluctant at first to wait on my husband, and they kept looking, and then the other one would look at the other one, and they weren't sure, and they'd look out there in the car, and I was sitting out there, and they weren't too sure about me because I had long hair, and a lot of times they don't, you know, like, a lot of, sometimes at that time didn't wear the hair long, and then they looked at the children and they went back in, they'd whisper and everything, and he kept standing and other people would come up and they were served and he wasn't. So finally the manager came out and he said, "Would you come to the back window?" And my husband said, "What?" I won't tell you what he said, but we got in the car and left, and the children cried. You know, they wondered what was wrong because their daddy got upset. And I remember going, getting ready to go to town one day, and Marcus asked me, he was a little boy, he said, "We got ready to go in the store," and he pulled back and he said, "Will they get us for coming in there?" And that was sad, you know. And it was a long time before he would actually go in the store, but he thought, were they close to that? And when I remember back, we never had, would buy a lot of ice cream and stuff like that when we were growing up, but in the drugstores where we'd go buy things, we couldn't go sit down